Paul Graham Swan joins us. Graham, are you a big golfer? Are you a big golfing
fan? I love golf. I'm a bit too honest to ever win golf days because I play off seven. Six. Oh, round. I'm going to round down today because I'm that honest.
Right.
And you always get a bandit who cheats on these things. But it's not about that today. It's about Sir Bobby Robson's foundation. And for me as well, any chance I get to play with some of my footballing heroes, like Alan Shearer behind me and Steve Harper, I'd absolutely grab the chance with both hands.
It's a beautiful day here. You've done stuff with the foundation before. Can you explain a little bit about what Sir Bobby means to you as a sportsman and as a sports fan?
Well, I think the very fact that he transcended sort of those barriers between football club supporters, you know, and very, very few people do that. And he was possibly the most popular England manager ever. Some people, because of his, you know, penchants for forgetting people's names and turned up at the wrong ground and stuff like that. But also because, you know, he always had his teams playing decent football. He knew the passion involved in football and he was a really passionate guy. And the very fact that the first time I met him was actually, it wasn't long before he passed, bless him. And it's when Newcastle beat Middlesbrough 3-1 at St James Park that should have kept them in the Premier League. It didn't, but after about 20 minutes, and you know, everyone stood up as Newcastle surged towards the goal, and whoever was sat with Bobby asked everyone to sit down in front, and the guy turned around, you know, to kick off, realised it was Bobby Robson, and then 10 rows in front didn't move a muscle for the rest of the game, despite Newcastle scoring 3 goals. There's probably few human beings on the planet that can manage that, to get 5,000 Geordies to sit still when their club are potentially saving their skin. So I think that sums up Bobby Robson, sums up why so many people turn out for him here today.
And it's, I mean, you make a good point. The charity, the Bobby Robson Foundation, isn't just a Newcastle-based charity. It's a pan-northeast charity, and it's doing important work in research and trials and so forth. But it's an important message too that cancer doesn't take account of what colours you wear on your shirt. It's, you know, it's a universal
That's
thing.
That's right. It doesn't care who you support, you know, how many goals you scored last year or whatever. It affects everyone at the end of the day. Sooner or later, you either pick it up yourself or someone you dearly love gets it. So it's vital that foundations like this exist. And the fact that a name so great as Bobby Robson, or Sir Bobby Robson, I should say, is attached to this one means it's in a privileged position to probably raise more money than other people.
Staying on the football front, you're a big Newcastle fan. It's not been the best of season so far, to put it politely. What do you make of what's happened so far?
Well, I've heard today that the spirit inside the camp is still good, which fills me with a bit of hope. The first 80 minutes against Chelsea filled me with hope. However, last year I remember Newcastle hanging on to win 2-1 at St James Park against Chelsea, and it meant, I think, we were up to seventh then, and it all looked good. We might even push that Europa League place, I thought. And then the last six games of the season, just biting our nails, wasn't it? Trying to see if we stay up or not. So I'm forever hopeful they'll stay in the Prem and they'll build a decent team and take small steps first. They need to start, you know, winning the bottom half of the league first and then try and win the top half of the top half of that, the bottom half of the top half, if that makes sense. And then eventually one day, you know, Peter Beardsley days will come back. And I'm sure one day Peter Beardsley will be in charge. And I don't know, Tino Asprey's son or something will be playing up front. And Ginola's love child on the right. It'd be great. And John Beresford can probably still play. Actually, I played golf with Beresford last week and he's still as agile as he was when he was 22. So heroes back. Pavel Cernicek's cousin in goal or something like that.
And on the day job, I mean, you've made the move from brilliant cricketer to media man. How have you found that and how have you enjoyed this summer?
I've actually really enjoyed it, but I've found it very tough at the same time because test matches I still desperately wish I could play. And every game is very hard to watch, very hard to comment on. One day cricket's a piece of cake to comment on because I hated that when I was playing by the end. And that's just a nice, easy day out. But the test matches I find really hard. I wish I was still able to play, fit enough to play, but I'm not. And I've got to watch, you know, someone in my place who I know I can help, and you know, I'm not being asked to help him, so it's a bit frustrating.
And you know all these people, they were your teammates and they were your mates. Is that difficult to sort of then suddenly take an objective view of them?
Not really, because I was fairly objective and straightforward with them anyway. I think too many sportsmen surround themselves with smoke and mirrors and like people to tell them how great they are all the time. But I never really bought into that. I prefer the brutal honesty thing. It doesn't go down with everyone. But, you know, your best mates in the team are the ones who accept that and just